Our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, where we've been spending some time. Chapter 14, verses 25 through 35. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear."
Can I have the children join me this morning?
Very loud.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Now, I want to know, are there any of you who have started to learn to play an instrument? See some hands out there. Any of you guys play an instrument? What do you play, Lacey? You play the flute? Anybody else have started to play an instrument yet? Mom routed you out, Charlotte. Jenna, what do you play?
I don't play anything.
Your mom just said you play the guitar. Well, not sure who's lying, but one of them. Charlotte, how about you?
That's another daughter.
You play the drum? Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. So when you guys started to learn an instrument, you guys had to go buy the instrument or rent it. You have to pay for lessons a lot of times, unless they're through the school. Then you don't always have to pay for them. And you have to buy the music and probably some other stuff, maybe like a music stand. I know, we have all sorts of money put into the praise band for stuff. So, but you guys have to take all that into consideration before you decide to play an instrument. And it is definitely worth it if you do. I enjoy playing. You guys can come play up for us sometime. It's not as hard as we make it look. But the same is true with becoming a Christian. We have to weigh out all the costs that it's going to take. Jesus told us that we need to be willing to take up our cross every day. He told us that it may mean that we lose some friends or family if we become a Christian, or that people may be mean to us or even try to hurt us. And it's like playing an instrument. We have to weigh all those costs, but it's definitely worth it being a Christian, even more worth it than even more worth it than playing an instrument or anything else that we could ever do. So as we weigh out those costs, just remember the joy and the happiness that we also get from being a Christian. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you that you have given us the opportunity to join your family and join this Christian church, Lord. And we pray that we will continue to weigh out the costs that it takes to be a part of this, but also remember that it is your will that we be a part of this, and that it is the greatest joy that we can ever have. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
She's a big helper.
I am pretty sure that I have mentioned this before. And I don't know if you feel this way or not, but when I see someone, especially someone who is trying to sell me anything, and they have a cross hung around their neck that is displayed prominently on their person, I instantly am on my guard. You know, a man came to my door one day with a large freezer on the back of his pickup. You know the guy, right? Okay. And he had a cross hung around his neck that almost needed a hand truck. He had it out there. And he somehow thought, I believe he thought that somehow it would buy him some credibility. And maybe for some people it would, but not for me. In our culture, it means very little to wear crosses. For many, it's just a meaningless piece of jewelry. When I see a rapper wearing a cross, I don't think he's making a faith statement. That doesn't come to my mind. I think he's maybe making a fashion statement, but not a faith statement. When you see a baseball player or some famous person being interviewed, and they've got a cross, you know, dangling from one of their ears, you know, neither the sportscaster or an interviewer or any of the fans think, you know, boy, that man must be a man of faith. People wear lots of jewelry, including crosses, around their necks and on their fingers and in their ears and attached to their navels and noses and sometimes unspeakable places. For thousands of people, the cross is just one more popular piece of jewelry that just doesn't mean anything. You know what would be cool? It would be really, really cool if when we were out in public and we saw somebody wearing a cross, we would go up to them and say, you know, wow, you've got a cross on. You must be a Christian. Tell me about your faith. And then if they didn't have anything to say, we could say, well, let me tell you about my Jesus. You know, contrast that situation with some cultures today where the cross can cost you your life. Remember when Jess was first ministering to those Syrian refugees in Greece? She couldn't even say the name of Jesus, because if someone would have overheard her, they would be justified in killing her. There's an organization called Voice of the Martyrs. I don't know if you've heard of it. Awesome organization. And they, if you go on their website, it will give you the daily count of people and the situations that they're in simply because they're Christians. I only downloaded a few of them. There are hundreds and hundreds and pages and pages. An Indian pastor was kidnapped from his home by a communist gang and then murdered, leaving behind a grieving wife and four children. Pastor Johann's body was discovered near his home. And yet Pastor Johann's wife says that her husband was killed for the sake of Christ. A mob of two dozen or more armed men stormed the 45-year-old pastor's home, took him by force. This took place on July 30th. It would be the last time his family would see him alive. They beat the pastor, stabbed and shot him before they slit his throat. They dumped his body in some bushes, leaving his hands tied behind his back and a warning note to Christians nearby. Three South Africans, Afghanistan nationals were killed in an attack on the Partnership in Academics and Development compound in Kabul. Church attendance has stopped in northern Nigeria because of unceasing threats and intimidation from Islamist groups such as Boko Haram. A Christian man was shot and killed just outside Mombasa, Kenya, and outside the church gate because he was mistakenly identified as the church pastor. 22-year-old Tommy Alipa was killed by Islamic terrorists in central Sulawesi, Indonesia, while working with his mother and his sister near a home in a Tankura village. Two Christian young women were attacked and killed because of their relief work in a Buddhist village. Muhammad, his wife Sarah, and their two children were forced to flee their home in Mosul when the city was overrun by Islamic extremists. Islamic extremists attacked the Christian village of Nunkwo in northern Nigeria's Taraba state, killing 23 people and injuring another 18 who were able to flee. 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians living and working in Libya were executed by members of the Islamic State. 200 Assyrian Christians, mostly women and children, were kidnapped in Syria in an overnight raid by the Islamic State. Nagla El Imam, a well-known human rights lawyer and Christian convert from Islam, is in jail in Egypt because he insulted Islam. Voice of the Martyrs has hundreds and hundreds of stories like that on their website. Do you know that Christians today are the most persecuted religious group in the world? And the persecution is growing exponentially. Crosses may be really, really cheap in America, but they are not cheap in the rest of the world. Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You know, in context, a cross refers to some suffering or sacrifice that you voluntarily make out of love for Christ and concern for other people. Now, for the record, carrying a cross will not earn you a ticket to heaven. Those tickets are free gifts from God, and they have been paid for by Christ on the cross. But if you have received that gift of free salvation, gratitude will cause an inner need in your heart to carry crosses for the sake of Christ. Now, here's the disturbing question for this Sunday morning. Where in your life, or in my life, for that matter, is there any cross-bearing going on? Where is there any suffering or sacrifice for the cause of Christ or other people? These are pretty heavy questions for this Labor Day weekend, this first weekend in September. But our scripture lesson for this morning causes us to ask these questions. It's Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 25. Let me just set this scene for you. Jesus is in the last stages of his 3-year ministry. He is on his way to Jerusalem, where he's going to be crucified. He was at the top of his popularity with the general population. Huge crowds are following him because they have seen his miracles and they've heard his teaching. And also, they really like the way he challenges the suits, if you know what I mean, the people in power. But Jesus can tell, you know, these people are not getting it. They really don't understand what is going on here. And he knows that their loyalty is not going to stand any kind of test. They think, you see, that he is headed to some kind of coronation and that they're on the winning side. You know, they're not thinking he's headed to a crucifixion. They think they're following a conquering hero. They have no idea that Jesus is going to be the suffering scapegoat for the world's sin. So Jesus says to the crowd, everybody sit down on this grassy slope. I need to have a heart-to-heart talk with you. And he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And what you need to understand at this point is that it was the custom of the day for teachers to overstate the facts in order to make their point. It was a teaching tool. For example, Jesus also said, if your eye causes you to sin, yank it out, okay? Also, what we need to know is that in the Aramaic language, which is what Jesus was speaking in, the word hate is literally translated like this: to love something a great deal less than. Okay? So Jesus is saying, unless you love me a great deal more than anything or anyone else, you cannot be my disciple. In fact, that is the way the gospel writer Matthew relays this account. And then Jesus adds, don't start anything unless you have first considered the costs and are prepared to meet them. He gave two examples. No one builds a watchtower in a vineyard without first checking to make for sure that he can buy the materials and finish it. Otherwise, he's going to build half of a tower and then run out of materials and become the laughingstock of the community. And no king takes an army out to fight a rival army without first considering whether his army is strong enough to win. Got to know whether he can win or not. And if he is not strong enough, the wise king would send out his secretary of state or somebody to ask for peace terms. Then Jesus turns to all of these fair weather followers and he says, kind of in the Sunny Stock translation, before you continue following me, you better consider whether you are willing to pay the price or not. If you are just here for the glory, you need to go home. Because if you stick with me, it's going to cost you something. Gary Player was a great golfer. This is specifically for you, John Nair. In his prime, he won more international golf tournaments than anyone else. And he said that through the years, fans would come up to him and say, I'd give anything to be able to hit a ball like you do. And usually Player would respond in some kind of a very polite, humble way. Okay, this is what is how he writes. But one day, a tired and frustrated Gary Player heard the statement a little too often, and he said, you would give anything to hit a golf ball the way I do if it were easy. Do you know what I've got to go through to hit a golf ball like I do? You've got to get up every morning at 5 o'clock and go out on the course and hit 1,000 golf balls. And your hands start bleeding. And you walk to the clubhouse and you slap a bandage on your hand and then you go back out and you hit another 1,000 golf balls. That's what it takes. You would give anything to hit a ball like I do if it were easy. But because it's not, you never will. Have a nice day. Gary Player was saying what Jesus had already said. That before you decide on a goal or start a job, you need to count the costs. You know, maybe in the church, we should take that to heart. If we were more honest, we would invite unchurched people into our fellowship, I think, in a different way. Instead of just telling them about our great Christian ed program, inspirational worship, exemplary youth program, all of the ways that we impact the community, which are many, maybe what we should say is this. If you choose Christ as your Lord and Christ Church as your church family, it's going to cost you big time. And you will give far more money to the cause of Christ than you think you can afford. And you will carve out precious blocks of time, which you think you don't have, to serve other people with no pay. And you will make other people's troubles your own. And you will take unpopular positions on controversial issues. And you might lose some friends, especially those who maybe like to tell dirty jokes. And your friends who like to spend evenings at the firehouse are going to find you willing not to hang out there anymore. And get this, you will follow this new lifestyle, not because you have to, but because you want to. And by the way, in the process, you will have the best time you have ever had in your life. In verse 27, it says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Crosses involve suffering and sacrifice. Nobody likes to suffer and sacrifice. Suffering and sacrifice, even for a good cause, are very tough for us to stomach. Yet this is what we are called to do through Christ. So what is your cross? There are crosses all over the place, just waiting for shoulders to pick them up. In a great church such as this one, every member should be able to name their cross. You know, in my old church, there was a woman who got cancer in her spine. Now, we all know how that was going to turn out, right? She said, you know, I need a job I can do from my wheelchair. Give me a job for Jesus that I can do from my wheelchair. She was the financial secretary until she passed away, but she had made plans and had trained the next person who was going to take her place so that there would be a smooth transition. You know, a famous pastor asked his twin granddaughters what they wanted for Christmas, and they said, "Give us the world." And he didn't exactly know what that meant, so he asked their mother, and the mother said, "Well, they really just want a globe for Christmas." And so that's what the grandfather bought him, a globe. But on Christmas morning, he was there, and the presents were opened, and he saw that his granddaughters were really disappointed in the globes that he had bought. And one of them said, "Oh, we were hoping that they would be lighted worlds." And the granddad said, "Oh, I can fix that." And so he took the globes back to the store, and he just exchanged them for ones that had lights inside. And when he gave the lighted globes to his granddaughters, they were thrilled with them because that's exactly what they wanted. But later, Dr. Lusuk told a friend about his experience, and he said, "I learned something from this experience. I learned that a lighted world costs a lot more than one that is not lit." If we want to light up this world for Jesus Christ, it is going to cost us more. More in sacrifice for sure, and today, maybe even in suffering. But look what it cost our Savior on the cross. In the words of the old hymn that we just sang, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. There's a cross for you." Amen.